Amen. Yes, yesterday I stayed up to watch football. Even though Germany is out, I still watched the first game. I didn't stay up for the later game. That one is just too late. I'm too old for that already. Thank you. Nobody said amen. That is a good thing. Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. This time it was good for you to stay quiet and say, hey, how come, huh? Pastor so young, pastor so dashing, so good looking. See, I'm reading more into your silence than you actually meant, but, you know, just give this to me. No, this morning, we want to look into the life of Jesus. Because after all, we know the greatest example, the best example that we can follow is the life of Jesus. And Pastor David started his series when he goes through the Gospel of Mark. And we want to continue this morning. But in the course that we talked about Mark from the beginning, we heard already how Jesus healed the sick, how the lame started to walk, the blind received sight, demonic spirits was cast out, and even the dead were raised. The small girl, last week we heard about that. Okay, so we heard about all the great things that Jesus has done already. But there is still so much more. Amen. So today we're going to look into the life of Jesus and see what we can learn from him. That's why I put there as a title for my message, Learning from Jesus. And the text that we're going to go into today is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And so that pastor cannot say, I don't let you read the Bible. Let's all read together. And this morning I heard from Jonathan and the priest service that we have to go over and beyond. So we're not just going to read the scripture together. Let's all rise to our feet, go over and beyond, and read God's word. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And there it says, everybody, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many of the people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can come to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 150s. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. God add a blessing to his word. You may be seated. Amen. Okay, tired, right? But check, see? I follow instructions. But we are quite familiar with the scriptures, with this particular passage especially. We have heard it. Maybe if you're not very familiar with church, or you came for the first time, or not so familiar, this is a story that we like to tell our children about. In Sunday school, they will definitely hear about this. When you come to church, one way or another, you will hear about this story. And that is because this is one of the few stories, I think there's 10 stories altogether, that is in all four Gospels written. All four. Same story. Exactly how Mark wrote it here. So it is in a very important scripture, and we can learn quite a bit. So what can we learn from the example of Jesus that he showed in this story? The first thing is, we can learn that Jesus was compassionate. Jesus was compassionate. And we, as followers of Christ, we as children of God, we have to come to a place where we say, God, I want to follow Jesus' example, and I want to be more compassionate. Because we live in a world where there's not so much compassion anymore. Come on. Everyone is doing their own thing. Everyone is so busy with their hectic schedules. Everyone is doing what needs to be done, and there's hardly any time left to show compassion to somebody else. You know, like just last week, I saw a little video clip on Facebook that somebody posted from my American friends, and it was very disturbing. It was a young guy running into a convenience store. Then four fellas went after him, dragged him out, and started stabbing him. And the worst of all is, people all around just watching. Even after they're stabbed and all that, they ran off. The guy was on the floor later on. He got up, tumbling around. He fell again, and people were just looking what's going on. Nobody got involved. Nobody showed compassion and tried to help. I guess they did help by calling the police, 911. But they didn't go over and didn't help. Now, why is that? Because a lot of people say, it's too dangerous. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why the guy was stabbed. If I get involved, maybe they will come after me. Or maybe people are too busy saying, you know what, I should help, but I have to be somewhere. I have an appointment that I have to keep, and it's important. If I want my next promotion, I have to make sure that I am at this appointment. So they're rushing off to get to their appointment. No matter what are the reasons, reality is there is less compassion in our world today. People are so caught up in doing their own thing that compassion very often falls short. And we, as people of God, we have to say, God, I want to make a difference. I want to be different. I want to be a good example. I want to be like Jesus. Because like it says here very clearly in verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looked at the people and he saw something. He saw their need and he had compassion for them. And we have to follow Jesus' example and say, God, I want to be somebody who is compassionate. I want to be somebody who cares for those who cannot care for themselves. I want to be somebody who feels compassion for those who have nothing to give to me. God, make me soft for the people around me. And I can guarantee you God will answer that kind of prayer. You know what? If you look into Facebook, Instagram, the social media, there's a trend going on where people take a picture when they give their money to a homeless guy. You know, they see a homeless guy on the street, they go to the guy, they put some money in the little hat or in the little whatever they have out there, and then, of course, they're taking a picture. And then on Facebook it says, oh, I saw this guy, you know what, I felt so touched, so I had to give him some money. And very often I think people do that because they want the likes. Like some others, recognition. But what if there is no recognition? What if there's no one to even pay attention to you of what you are doing? Are we still compassionate? What is our motive of being nice to people? Is it just so that I can get something in return? I am nice to you, so later on if something goes wrong in my life, hopefully you will be nice to me. I scratch your back, you scratch mine, kind of a thing. What is our motive of treating people the way that we know we should treat them? And the thing is, if we follow the footsteps of Jesus, we have to have compassion. And of course, it is easy to oversee because we are so busy. We don't mean harm. We don't mean evil. We don't mean it in a bad way, but we are so busy, we are so focused, that very often we miss out on opportunities to show compassion to somebody else. Come on. So we have to remind ourselves and look for opportunities in our life where we can show compassion. And it's not always about giving money. What about you go to your working place, you see a coworker, and he is a little bit down, a bit discouraged. Maybe something happened, you don't know what. Compassion is also to go over and show that you care. Ask, hey, what's going on? I see today you're not in a happy mood. You okay or not? Or even if you don't know the person that well and you don't want to seem nosy, or that you are too interested in their life, just go over and give them a compliment. That is easy, right? Oh, you're looking nice today. So you see somebody is down, instead of getting into their business because you don't have that kind of relationship, you can give them a compliment. You can be extra nice to them. Maybe go over, just say hi, and that's it. Good enough. But showing compassion is seeing other people, seeing their need, and trying to help out. And I believe that is the way that we should be different, so that people can look at us and say, you know what? There's something different about this man. There's something different about this woman. And that is God, His compassion, and the Holy Spirit in us. So we have to be compassionate. Amen. The second thing that we can learn from Jesus is that He was resourceful. Jesus was resourceful. And there it says in verse 38, how many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, five loaves of bread and two fish. Now here is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He could have created food out of thin air. True or not? Believe that? Yes, I do. He could have just created food for everybody to eat. But instead He said, how much food? What do you have? Go and see what people have brought. And then when they brought it back, five bread and two fish, then He prayed over it, multiplied it, and so when they got given out, people were satisfied and full. But Jesus asked, what do you have? And I believe that is something that's a principle that we can apply in our life. Jesus is asking us, what are you willing to give? God wants to bless, yes. God wants to provide our need, absolutely. But what are we willing to give? Hello? Yes, it is true. I need a car to get around. But I don't want just any car. I want a BMW. Or I need food. Yes, true. But I don't want just any food. I want to eat at Fridays, in Starbucks, in Old Town. I want to eat at all the nice places. The ones who have a Michelin star. That is the places I want to eat. Yes, I have a need. I need clothes to wear. True. But I want Gucci, Hugo Boss, Nike, all the other one. Lacoste. Not happy with the other one. No, I want more. No, God promised that He will provide for us. He will give us what we need. But sometimes we expect something that we don't even need. Hello. When they brought the fish and the bread to Him, Jesus multiplied, and they all ate fish and bread. Not steak, not lobster. Fish and bread. What the people brought to Him, He multiplied and gave it to the people. So the question this morning is, what are we willing to give Jesus? Because what we give to Him, He will multiply and give it back to us. What about if I don't even bother finishing SPM? I didn't finish SPM, okay? I did the equivalent in Germany, just to be clear. Huh? Like last time, you're like, oh, Pastor did SPM. No, I did the equivalent to that. But even if we don't even bother doing SPM, but then we expect God to make us a CEO of a multi-million company, it will never happen. Hello? Oh, I only have to have faith. No, you have to give in also. What you give, God will multiply. If we don't bother giving our best at work, But we expect promotion after promotion. It's not going to happen. Come on. What we give, God can multiply. If we don't bother investing time and effort into our marriage, but we expect the best marriage ever, it's not going to happen. What we give, God will multiply. If we are on a seafood diet, whatever I see, I eat. But then we expect God to make us all healthy and slim. It's not going to happen. Understand or not? What we give to God, He can multiply. So if we give our best in life, God will multiply and we're going to have an even better life. If we are willing to give ourselves to our family, to our marriage, God will bless and give us an even better marriage. That is how it works. We need to give so that God can multiply. Don't expect something out of thin air, a blessing, if we're not willing to give anything. Amen? So Jesus was resourceful. He took what the people gave and multiplied it. You know what? In the marriage seminar the Pastor David did before, he said that women are like amplifiers. I remember that one. Whatever you give to a woman, they will amplify it, make more of it, and give back. So if you give love to a woman, even just a little bit, they will amplify the love. They will make more love and give love back to you and your family. If you give respect to your woman, they will multiply the respect, make more of it, and show you more respect. But if you give trouble to your woman, what's going to happen? You see the pattern here? I believe the same thing with God. If we give, God will multiply. He will make more and bless us, but we have to give. So Jesus said, you know what? I'm not just going to make you a feast here. I'm going to ask what you will give, and I will multiply what you give. And that is how God supplies for our needs. Amen? Another thing that we can learn is Jesus was full of faith. Jesus was full of faith. Verse 41, it says, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. He looked up to heaven and recognized, God, this is something that you have to do. He was the Son of God. He knew who he was, but he still needed to believe for a breakthrough. Come on. It's not that it all of a sudden happened. He looked up to heaven. He prayed about it. He thanked God, and something happened. Now you and I, we are sons and daughters of God. It's like news to you. No, you know that, right? We are sons and daughters of God. Jesus was the Son of God. So we are also a son of God, a daughter of God. So when we expect something to happen, we still need to come to God in prayer and believe that something will happen. Come on. It's not that now I'm a believer, everything will fall into place. In fact, Jesus said, whatever they did to me, they will do to you. Not a very nice picture, but that's what he said. So it's not that, okay, now I become a Christian and everything in life will fall into place. Not necessarily. We still have to walk out our life. We still have to make smart decisions. We still have to pray. We still have to ask God to supply. We still need to give and see that God will bless us in return. We still are required to come to God and pray about it, believing God for a breakthrough. Amen? But you know what? The good thing about church is you don't have to believe all the time. Let me clarify. Sometimes we come to a place in life where we say, God, I tried everything. Pastor, I tried it over and over and over again. Nothing seems to change. And we can come to a place where we are discouraged, where we say, I tried so many times to break this addiction. It's not happening. It's not working out. And I gave up hope. No problem. Come and let us believe for you. That is the beauty of church, that you can be weak because others are willing to be strong for you. That you come to the front and say, I prayed so many times, but I don't seem to get a breakthrough. Pastor or somebody else, can you pray for me? And we pray for you and believe for you and with you. Amen. That we can build each other up. That is the purpose of the church. That we come together and when you are weak, that I can be strong for you. And that when I feel weak, that you can carry me and pick me up and encourage me. Amen. We are a unity. Yes, there's times where we have to stand strong, but there are times where we can be weak as well. Because we have one another. Amen. So treat others that way. You know what? I want to be there for you. And when I am down, you will be there for me. We are together in this. We are here for a reason. And when we are feeling not quite up to the task, find strength in one another. Amen? And of course, even like David said, the next thing is strengthen yourself in the Lord. If you feel down, if you feel I'm at the end of the rope, the best place that you can go is pray. But Pastor, I prayed and I prayed, nothing seems to happen. Hang in there. Share your heart with God. What is inside? You can pray an honest prayer. Whatever you feel, that is what you can tell God. I remember when I started out in Bible school, I got to a place where I say, what am I even doing here? I was in Africa before. I was doing work that I really saw fruit. I saw really people's lives being touched. Now I'm here, and I'm just not sure if I'm at the right place anymore. And I cried out to God. And day after day, every night, I would go for a walk, and I would just say and tell God exactly how I feel. But you know what? I found strength in that. Because God, I knew He was listening to me. And after that, I felt like a burden is lifting. Now, it was not just one time. I went over and over again, but I felt that God was with me. And I knew that He cares for me, that I can receive strength simply by being honest with God. Just by sharing my heart, I received so much that I said, you know what, I'm going to carry on because I know I'm at the right place. I found strength in meeting with God. And that is the beauty. We know that we serve a God who is interested in us, who wants to be close to us, so we can come to Him expecting Him to help our unbelief. Amen? Because that is the kind of God that we serve. Amen? The last thing that we can learn is that Jesus was thrifty. Thrifty. Say, hey, Pastor, what is that? Thrifty, the definition is using resources carefully and not wastefully. He used the resources carefully and didn't waste. After everybody was full, He asked the disciples, go and collect what is left over. And they carried forth 12 baskets full of bread and fish. He didn't just leave them there and say, never mind, it's extra, just leave it behind. He said, no, go collect it and take it with you. So every disciple had a basket full of bread and fish. And they knew where the next meal was coming from. He didn't waste. He multiplied. He supplied more than enough, but He didn't just throw away the extra. He was careful with the blessing that He has given. And we have to be careful with the blessing that we receive. Amen? We give our best to God. He will multiply, make it more, and bless us in return. But how do we treat that blessing? Are we wasteful with it? Or are we wise with the blessings of God? You know what? Last time I preached, I talked about we have to have balance. You know, making memories with the family, spending time with them, taking them for holidays, making memory that will last a lifetime. Important, absolutely. But we also have a responsibility to make sure that our children will go through college, that they have enough what they need. Amen? So we need to find a balance. Don't get caught up into one extreme. One extreme would be, oh, I'm just saving everything so that later on I can give to my children. But in the meantime, you don't give any nice presents, you don't take them out, you don't spend time with them, you don't go for holidays. That is one extreme. It's not good. But the other extreme is whenever any money comes in, you splurge it all. And then you don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. That is another extreme. We need to find balance. Amen? Where we take care of the future, we prepare for the future, but at the same time, we enjoy the blessings that we have. It's about a balanced life. Amen? That we don't get caught up into one extreme or the other. We need balance. You know what? Just last week, I called my mom to find out how my dad is. Praise God, my dad is doing much better. Even for 1 hour last week, he could hear on his ear. You know, those who are a bit familiar, my dad, the one side of the ear, he cannot hear at all. So last week, for 1 hour, the hearing came back. But then it went off again. But you know what? Now we pray and believe that it will come back and it will stay, that it will be permanent. Amen. So I called my mom, and then I asked, how is my grandma? She's 86 years old now, Oma Gertrud. So I asked her, how is my Oma? And then she said, oh, she's doing very well. She's still going to visit her friend every day because she stays in the city, so there's a bus line, there's a bus stop right in front of her house. So every day, because she is bored, don't know what to do, so she would go under the bus, go and visit a few friends that are still left. Over the last few years, one after the other has been passed on. But the ones that she still has, she goes and visits. So she's doing very well. I said, oh, that's very good. But of course, my mom said, the only thing is, she doesn't throw anything away. So if you go into the house, it's not like the hoarders like you see on the shows, on TV. Not quite so bad. But she cannot throw anything away. Old newspapers cannot throw away. Anything that is in the house that comes along, she cannot throw it away. Because she came from a place after the war where people really had nothing. So she knows what it means to walk through poverty. So she cannot throw anything away. So she is also very thrifty. But that is, again, is on the extreme. That nothing she can throw away. My mom goes in to visit with my auntie once a week. And whenever they come, they bring a box. Each of them brings one box, a big box. And then whatever lies around, they will just put all in the box. My mom one box, my auntie one box. They fill up the box, and they have to convince my grandma to let it go so they can go and throw it away. Not easy for her. But she's an extreme. She cannot waste anything. She has to hold on to every little thing. That is one extreme. The other extreme, like we said, is you splurge, you don't think about the future, you don't plan ahead. That is another extreme. We need to find a balance, amen, that we can enjoy life, enjoy the blessings that our God has given, but yet prepare for the future, amen. Like Jesus said, you know what, pick up the one that is left over. We're going to take it with us. We're going to have another few meals out of that one, amen. So God, Jesus, is thrifty. He is not wasting resources. How are we treating God's blessings? Do we treat it wisely or do we treat it wastefully? If we follow in Jesus' footsteps, we have to be wise. Live a balanced life with the blessings that we receive and the way that we treat and handle those blessings. Amen. Can we rise to our feet and the praise team come, please, this morning?